in jail. Go on home. They're waiting for you.
This Thursday and Friday, the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay will present the beloved holiday classic. Just heard a bit of the movie version there. It's a Wonderful Life, but this play will have a bit of a twist.
This version reimagines the story as a live radio play. Laura Riddle joins us now. She's the director of the play and a professor of theater at UW-Green Bay. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Laura, what made you decide to turn this holiday classic film into a radio play?
I did not do it myself. This was turned into a radio play by Joe Landry, and he did it after trying to actually recreate the film on stage, and when they realized that it was getting incredibly big and expensive, they came up with the concept of creating it as a live radio play, because in 1947, after the film had opened, there was actually a one-hour radio drama version starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed of the play with live sound effects, the way that they were done back then with a Foley table. And so Joe Landry wrote this script, and since about 2004, it has just blown up and become really well known throughout the country. There's a production in Chicago every year. Many cities have productions every year. So the script that we have is written as a group of people in 1946 in a radio stage in front of a live audience. And the one-hour play is performed live. We've added pre-show music from the 40s, and that's also live. And the story is told with voices and sound effects and music.
So what are some of the challenges of doing a radio drama that might be different from a typical stage play?
Well, this one took me by surprise. I've done a lot of directing, and I was not fully prepared for what rehearsing a radio play would be. I'm a real fan of old-time radio and listen to it every week. And so I thought I had a pretty good clue. But then when we started rehearsing, the specificity of combining music, sound effects, and words, the timing of it, to be able to do it live without editing every night has required a very different kind of rehearsal than what I'm used to. And for the first time, I'm using the Foley table, and those are the live sound effects that are made that create sounds that are indicated in the script. They give the play so much more as far as a feeling of what's happening to the audience at home listening, but our stage, our theater audience gets to watch these sound effects being made.
Right. Yes. Let's hear about that Foley table. What kinds of things are you using to make your sounds?
Well, it's all kinds of things. And I'm working very closely with Paul Heim, who is the technical director at the Widener Center. He and I have done several plays together. He's worked with me as a sound designer, and he loves old-time radio as much as I do, and toured with Five by Design Radio Days. And he has been fabulous in finding effects that only would have been available in 1946. Mm. And so, for example, the sound of a car door shutting, we don't want a real car door on stage, but he found a vintage ice chest that was metal, and slamming the lid on it sounds like a car door. So that is one of the many things that's on top of and around the Foley table. We also have to create the sound of ice cracking and the splashing of Clarence going into the water. And I was actually, I laughed when I was listening to your last segment, because it began, the sound of ice cracking signals the arrival of deer. And that's one of my favorite sound effects in the show, is the sound of ice cracking. We tried a number of different approaches to it, And what I'd like to do now, if I can, is do a live demonstration
sure.
of ice cracking. So this is what it sounds like. That's our ice cracking.
Okay.
Yeah, what is that? I have no idea.
No idea?
Should I know?
Frying bacon. No.
Bubble wrap.
It's three stalks of celery being twisted.
Oh, great.
And I think that I love most of all when the sound effects are not the real thing. You know, a bell is a bell, but we had to have a very specific bell. But that one, and obviously people falling into the water, glass breaking on stage. We worked with so many different sounds when they throw the rocks through the windows. And we ended up, our Foley area has cooked sugar glass. And it's the same glass that would be used in a breakaway bottle for a film or theater production. So it's perfectly safe. We don't have to worry about shards. Mm. But it still looks like glass, and it breaks like it and sounds like it.
How are the actors taking to this, you know, this radio-focused script here?
It's totally new for them. Most of them knew nothing about old-time radio. And we spent a few days at the beginning of the process listening, and I was so excited that they were enthusiastic about listening to the mystery and hearing the commercials. And I played them some old comedy pieces, and they just laughed at the corny old jokes. And so I was really glad that they were able to embrace it. It's been a real challenge for them. They're working on communicating with their voice everything that's going on, but the reality is they're in front of people at the Widener Center who are watching the show.
Well, so, Laura, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about it
you're
today.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking to Laura Riddle, professor of theater at UW-Green Bay and the director of UW-Green Bay's It's a Wonderful Life radio play.
And we'll have some information up on the Central Time Facebook page, a link to more info about the production.